We will now kick off our fleet optimization panel. Today we are discussing fleet optimization related to the use of digital technologies, platforms, and how we can actually make shipping better and better, thanks to all these technologies that are emerging and have already emerged. And we have four very distinguished panelists with us today. I will be introducing all of them first, and then we'll go into our questions. First of all, we have here on my left, Dimitris Chrysostomou. He is the Managing Director of the Asia region and the Group Director of Business Development at Columbia Ship Management. He started his shipping career in 1995 and holds a Bachelor of Commerce degree, majoring in Marketing Management and graduating from the University of Pretoria, South Africa in 1990. He also holds a professional qualification of chartered ship broker, having completed his shipping studies through the London Institute of Chartered Ship Brokers and accepted as a fellow to the Institute in 1998. He also has been with Columbia Ship Management for the past 25 years, dealing with a range of positions as a vessel operator for cruise vessels, bulkers, tankers, insurance and claim officer, fleet commercial manager, and as well as managing director of Columbia's Singapore office from 2007 to 2013. Subsequently, he took a position as group director for marketing and business development in Columbia Ship Management. And currently, as of October 2020, he holds the position of managing director of Asia region, responsible for all Columbia offices and activities within Asia. We are very pleased to have Dimitris with us today. Thank you, Dimitris, for being here. Next, Shingo Ikeda-san. He is making a shorter trip than Dimitris. He's here in Tokyo, working for K-Line. He's a naval architect and works in K-Line for more than 30 years. Ikeda-san is mainly engaged in K-Line new building business, from the initial planning up to the vessel's delivery. He covers container ships, car carriers, bulk carriers, tankers, gas carriers, and dot, 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 because I think he will keep covering ships from K-Line. In 2021, Ikeda-san, K-Line dedicated, set up a dedicated group, so-called greenhouse gas reduction strategy, and Ikeda-san became the leader of such group, a group manager. And later this year, I believe April 2023, Ikeda-san has been promoted to executive officer, taking both his last two jobs into one. So he's in charge of both groups, the new building group in K-Line, as well as the greenhouse gas reduction strategy group. Thank you very much, Ikeda-san, for being here today with us.
Thank you, Luis.
Thank you. Next, we have Satoshi Yamane-san. Yamane-san, thank you very much. He's coming from Mitsui OSK Lines. He started his career in Mitsui in 1995 as a marine engineer. Since joining MOL, Yamane-san has worked on board ships for 10 years, becoming chief engineer. And after that, he was assigned to shore positions, mainly in ship management, for 10 years, both at Japan and Singapore. Then Yamane-san also assigned the role of ship management for 10 years. Then in 2016, he worked in the MOL headquarters here in Tokyo, mainly involved in initiatives related to the safe operation through data utilization. Since April 2023, Yamane-san leads the smart shipping division of the headquarters of technology innovation of MOL here in Tokyo. Thank you very much, Yamane-san, for being here today with us. And finally, we have Ronnie Waga. Ronnie joined the panel yesterday by surprise. Thank you for thank you for covering the absence of a previous panelist that got a bit sick. We hope Dieter gets a very full recovery. So Ronnie is here with us today. Thank you, Ronnie. Came from all the way from Singapore overnight. So he's very well rested on the plane, I hope, Ronnie. And anyway, he is the Global Sales Director for 044. This is a software provider helping owners and operators manage compliance, accounting, and reporting on EU ETS and CII. Prior to joining 044, Ronnie was regional manager and VP sales for the Asia-Pacific region at ScanRich, a Norwegian maritime technology provider. He is a board member of the Norwegian Business Association in Singapore and a former committee member of the Digital Transformation Committee of the Singapore Shipping Association. Ronnie is well established in Singapore, and he has close to 15 years of experience from various roles within the maritime industry in Europe and Asia. He holds a double master's degree in international business and international management from Norwegian School of Economics, Bokoni University, and the internationally renowned CEMS, C-E-M-S program, as well as a minor in entrepreneurship from University of Oslo and the National University of Singapore. He is a Norwegian citizen and resides in Singapore. Thank you very much, Ronnie, for being here with us today. Thank you very much. So now we are going to have some discussion on the subject of fleet optimization. And I will ask, first of all, a question to all panelists about what it is fleet optimization from their perspective, from their company perspective, from their personal role perspective. What is it? What is on the scope? So we can start understanding if there's any differences, or basically what is the definition, what matters with regards to optimizing fleets for each of these companies. So we maybe start with Dimitris. We can give us a bit of an idea of the scope of optimization.
Thank you very much, Chris. Good morning to everybody. Nice to see some old friends and familiar faces. From Columbia Group and Columbia Ship Management perspective, optimization means a lot of things for us. We're having ship owning, we're having ship management, cruise vessel management, offshore management, we have commercial pools, and we have clients of many nationalities, diversities, and of course with many different requirements. So optimization is not just the basic voyage and planning optimization and fuel savings. It goes way beyond that from our perspective, of course, because of the requirements of our clients. So we've developed a platform under our performance optimization center where we have lube oil and bunker link. This is actually monitoring and planning bunker consumptions and purchases. Engine link, which is about the health and preventative maintenance of engines. We have route link. We have emissions link, which is of course very important now with CII and all these kind of factors. So for us, it means a lot more than just that. We've even taken it a step further. We have a Riva 360. This is a training module. We've developed digital twins of our ships. It helps our crew to familiarize before coming on board the ships. It helps us with safety training, gamification. We've done digital twins of engines. It helps with supporting the teams on board with overhauling and so on. So from our perspective as a group, optimization is very broad from that perspective and very important for the future and, of course, to satisfy the requirements of our clients.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Let's see the perspective from Ikeda-san.
Okay. I completely agree with Dimitris-san because optimization means we have several kinds of the optimization. If I can say about fuel saving, in such case that we try to keep our optimization voyage with a computer-based monitoring. But our cargo owner or client or charterer always request to the arrival time, even though the loading or discharging. So we have to keep the arrival time in a contract basis. So the we are always sometimes facing some difficulty to own optimization by ourselves. Therefore, I think the optimization means several kinds of the optimization. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ikeda-san. Let's hear from Yamane-san, please.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, everyone. And from my side, from the MOL, we are the ship owner and operator. And before already, Domitori-san and Ikeda-san already covered my role also. Fleet optimization, the optimization in our company, there are the several aspects. So as the operator, as the operator and the owner, ship owner. And in our, Luis-san already introduced me, myself, and I'm a lead for the safety entire MOL operated vessel. Mm-hmm. It is more than 800 vessel. And we utilize the data for the safety. It is equal to the reduction of the emission. So fleet optimization, it is quite difficult to make a one definition. That is my answer, if it's okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Ronnie, please.
Sure. Thanks, thanks, Louise. And it's great to be back in Tokyo again, albeit on somewhat short notice, I guess you could say. And good to be back on stage and taking part in the Capital Link event as well. So I come at this not so much from my current role, which is very recent. I joined 044 3 weeks ago, but more from previous roles and engagements looking into the optimization of vessels and fleets. I think it should be at the backbone of any organization to optimize in every way you can to run as efficient a ship and a fleet as you possibly can. It is best for your wallet and best for the environment. I think when I think about optimization, it comes down to three factors. Typically, two of them are focused more on than others. We focus a lot on hardware aspects of this and also software aspects of this, be it optimization systems, et cetera, or commercial optimization in terms of how you operate, avoiding ballast or reducing the unnecessary ballasting, et cetera. On the hardware side, we've seen a lot of developments recently on sails and everything else to optimize vessels, sort of a return to the sail era in some degree. But I think the part that is least focused on and that should and should deserve a lot more attention is that of the human factor. And one study that I keep coming back to in these type of conversations or discussions is one of my favorite publications from last year was the report that Bernard Schulte published after they did the study together with Signal, which looked purely at behavioral change on board, on the bridge and other factors on the vessel, which had a substantial impact on fuel savings and how you optimize the operations of a vessel. You can do it through gamification, incentivization, et cetera, but the human factor is so critical in this. And this is one example, but there's so many, and the human factor comes into every aspect of optimization, and I think it's something that we need to focus a lot more on. I think sort of my general input to this first one.
Thank you, Ronnie. So actually, I was going to deep dive into particular aspects of optimization that are more important for your businesses, the ones that delivers the highest impact, or the ones you want to, let's say, invest on first, for whichever reason. I think Ronnie already gave me the answer to that second question. I think, but anyway, let me ask you anyway. So, if you need to give some advice to companies investing in optimization for fleets, would you start at the human factor area? What would be your pick? What would be your preference for your prioritization on an area of investment for optimization? It's a tricky question, Ronnie.
You're directing it back at me. I thought you
yes.
were start.
Sorry,
back
I'm
back, back, back with Demetrius again. Actually, I'm gonna say something very different because one factor is the human factor, and I touched upon it already, but I think the absolute underlying key factor for really being able to optimize anything is data. And historically, we don't have good enough data, we don't gather good enough data, we don't interpret the data well enough, and without a good and sufficiently good data source, you cannot optimize anything because you cannot manage what you don't measure, and you cannot compare if you don't have sufficient data underlying the decision that you're trying to make. So I'm going to go with data on this question more than the human factor.
Thank you. So, Dimitris, what would be your priority area for investment?
Fully agree with Ronnie. For us, data is also the most important. So the things I described in my opening remarks all fall under an umbrella which we call Oceanly. And Oceanly basically, because of the diversity of what we have to monitor and make decisions about, Oceanly is actually a system whereby, a platform whereby we're collecting data from our vessels. And because we are a ship manager and not only a ship owner, we have all types of vessels, all types of ages, all types of different investments on board those ships, from zero sensors or flow meters or so on to those ships which are very smart. So we need to be able to collect data manually, semi-automated or automated. And Oceanly is a product which allows us to collect that data, whether it will be manually or from sensors, flow meters, and so on, and analyze that data in order to give us the parameters for optimization and decision making. So I fully agree with Ronnie on that, and that's the most important for us.
Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you. Igera-san, what would be your pick?
Yep. For example, the CII or any so optimized navigation, Caroline has own monitoring system, and automatically collected vessel data, and also we have AI function to predict future navigation. Also, the system can recommend the optimized route. But even though finally the captain should decide final decision to how to navigate further, therefore the not only the automatically decision, but the human factor is needed still, we have.
Yeah. I see. Yamane-san?
Okay. Of course, we also have our platform to monitor the vessel operation data, and we call that FOCUS. And FOCUS itself collecting the data and analyze and visualize some data. But finally, to make action, it depends on the person, the captain or chief engineer. But for the data collecting, he already mentioned, data quality of the data and the quantity of the data is a very, very important and key to decide what awareness can be taken from the data. So we tackle to these things to collecting the more data and more precious data from the vessel, and as well as to collecting the data side, the, for the human factor side, we always motivate them to follow the action based on the data, but before the data only on board, but in nowadays, we can discuss and we can decide our action based on the same data on board and also the shore. So we always ask captain, you are not the alone. We are together all the time. Now we are connecting via data. This is our current situation. And finally, one more thing. Finally, our target is to collecting the data, do the action by the human. And now, next step, we also the autonomous shipping. Our target is autonomous ship. So this is now it is a middle stage or beginning stage to the future.
That's I all see. I think. Thank you very much. So we are talking about importance of human factor. You all are really agreeing that we have two subjects here. We have a human, and then we have the data. Can you give us, and I go through Dimitris again, can you give us a bit of an idea of which technologies you are properly already implementing or thinking of implementing that can help creating that link and actually creating the the optimization beneficial impact for the company? Can you give us a bit of an idea?
For our group at the moment, we are in some discussions which we hopefully will announce towards the end of the year. And this is with a very big technology company in aviation, which is involved in most airlines and also in most airports around the world. And if we manage to conclude this agreement, for us it would be a major development in the maritime space, since this company would like to get involved in the maritime space. So we'll bring already what's been developed in the aviation, not only in terms of vessel management and optimization, but also in terms of port operations, logistics chains, and so on. So we see this as a major development for our company, but I think will also be a major contributor to the maritime space. So for us, I would say that's probably the most important event which is coming.
And that is to replace your existing solutions, to refresh?
I think it's not to replace. I think it's to take what we're doing and then to learn lessons which are already been applied in the aviation industry. And then it's to add on because, you know, at the moment our focus is more on the vessels themselves. This then goes a step further because it goes into port, it goes into logistics. So it wouldn't just be for the operations of ship management or ship owning. For us as a group, it would be also a standalone entity that will develop products for the maritime industry. So it's, again, a little bit of diversification within the group, not just related to ship management, but maritime in general.
Oh, I see. And is there a date for this big announcement?
Hopefully before the end of the year.
Before Christmas?
I hope so.
Good. Thank you very much. We'll be looking at the press. Ikeda-san, what is the... Can you tell us about technology that is helping you to bridge your optimization gaps?
Yes. If I can say about the recommended route navigation, the feedback from our seafarer, they request some selection of the routing because if system gives only one route, they have no choice. But the situation is always changing, like weather condition or several another condition. And at that time, the seafarer captain will make a choice, for example, route A or route B or route C or something. And they need always adjusting to navigate. But they always keep in mind optimization. So the digitalization and the human factor has to be linked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
I see. Good luck with the the link. It's a big challenge of our industry these days with the bringing so much technology on ships and trying to. Come to a new way of working. We will discuss maybe that at the end of our panel. Yaman-san, technology-wise, you give us any particular area recommendation, something that is working well for MOL?
Okay, I will comment the technology. I will separate the technology. We use the sail or kite. It's a new technology to reduce the emission, but in this time, I would like to say the fleet optimization based on the data optimization. So for the data optimization, maybe this is not required for the new or very, very innovative technology. It's not required. Because the first, we are collecting the data for maybe recent 5 or 10 years, and we collect the data, and as I mentioned, we visualize the data. And we have to put into the system for our know-how. Maybe in this venue, there's a lot of a long-time operation in this shipping industry. So these kind of the know-how and knowledge must input into the system, and the AI maybe can be a boost or initiative to more enhance for the safety and more efficient operation. That's why I think the recent current technology can be utilized more and more. And in the shipping business, this is a different from the like a car. There's a much, much less data only in our industry. So I think not only the MOL, not only the other company, we'd better to sharing all the data and put into our industry know-how into our system. But I don't know what kind of the system exists in the global wide. But anyway, still we are doing put into our knowledge and know-how into the system. Mm-hmm. This is a not new technology, mm-hmm. but now we are doing that one.
How to make your smart system intelligent somehow, maybe. I understand. Ronnie, give us some your take on technology and the link with business.
Yeah, I mean, I sit here and I don't own or operate ships, but of course, over the course of a few years in shipping, I've spent a lot of time working with owners and operators of vessels. But I first wanted to compliment Dimitris and Columbia on venturing outside of the industry and working with other industries who have already solved some of the issues that shipping is faced with, rather than always taking the approach that we typically do as an industry, where we sit and say, we are so unique, we have to build this ourselves, we can't take what exists in other industries and just bring it into shipping. So my compliments to Columbia for working with aviation and other industries to bring, in a sense, to make a solution work for maritime that has already been, or that already works somewhere else, or solve a problem for maritime with something that's already been solved somewhere else. I think there's, rather than saying a specific solution, I think there's also a strong case for taking things that already exist, using existing solutions. One of my favorite use cases for this was shared by Odfjell at a conference we hosted in Singapore last year, I think it was, where they have reduced their emissions by 40%, going towards 50% across their fleet with various initiatives that they've done, the majority of which have been done by implementing existing technologies that have all had a down payment period of less than 12 months because of the fuel savings that you get from implementing them. So we don't have to reinvent things. We can do a lot with what's already out there to make our current ones or our current fleets more efficient. And I think if there's one factor beyond technology that really drives this, it's regulation. And it was mentioned and talked about in the previous panel, and I know it will be talked about in one of the following panels as well. But regulation is one of the strongest drivers for this, because once polluting starts to cost something, that will be one of the strongest drivers towards more efficient operations. Of that I'm quite certain, with the EU ETS being the first one out there. And I guess as soon as the US gets a Speaker of the House in place again, then they will debate the proposed legislation there. Which is more a direct carbon tax, but it will have the very same effect on driving optimization and vessel optimization, fuel optimization much, much further.
Thank you,
Ronnie. That's my general take.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, let's see if we can introduce in this panel a little bit of artificial intelligence discussion, very, very briefly. We are no experts here, but I think we are all exposed in our life to AI more and more, especially in 2023. I think most of you may have tested ChatGPT. If not, I recommend you give it a go, because with the right prompt, it's incredible what you can get out of it. Now we have a ChatGPT video. So actually, I think it was released a couple of months ago, or I came across that area of AI. You can you can create a video that you can video your feelings, your thoughts, your speech automatically by AI. It's something that we need to acknowledge. It's coming to our world. And I think in maritime, in our industry, it's also coming very fast. I feel this is not something that's happening in isolation. Nikita has already mentioned some AI on previous questions. So just give us a very quick understanding of your own understanding of AI. Where, does it fit for maritime? Is it already coming in? Do you see any particular application that could be of interest, Dimitris?
Of course. I mean, with the advancement in technology and, of course, with shipping adopting the technologies, which of course also existed already in other industries, AI is an important factor. I mean, we, in our modules that we've developed, AI is an important module, but I think we also still understand that people are empowered by technology. So, you know, artificial intelligence for us doesn't replace people. I think we're in an industry which is not predictable, we're in an industry which is has a high risk. I mean, we spend a lot of time with emergency drills, many different scenarios. You know, we train our teams in the offices and on board the ships. So we are in an industry where, you know, people are still important. Decision making is important. Reacting to unpredictable situations is important. So I think technology and AI helps us to do what we do much better. It will help us to be even better than what we are. It will help us to mitigate risks. But at the end of the day, for us, it's a tool which empowers our people. So yes, it's important. We have to adopt it. We have to use the benefits. But still, I think our investment in our people, the training, is just as important.
Thank you, Ikeda-san.
Oh, yes, AI function is very important because in case of the performance monitoring, at the time that we have a lot of numerous data from the ship. So in such case, we have to, how can I say, screen out incorrect data or uncertain data sometime. So it's time consuming. So the AI, if AI can automatically select the correct data, we can time saving and we take a correct result from the databases. Also, the Dimitris-san said training is very important for a shipping company. And if the AI function gives some idea for the lesson learned or some near miss cases or something, at the time, the very efficient training can be done for the seafarer. So I think the AI is very important for now and near future.
Thank you very much. Yaman-san?
Okay. Now I realized I do better to ask ChatGPT what should I say. But anyway, so far, as of now, we put AI into our system for the trouble prediction for the main engine. We already started that one. And before starting that project, we are thinking we'd better to predict the trouble well before advance. And we want to avoid the trouble and the sudden stop. But as of now, of course we avoid some trouble and prevent the sudden stop. But we predict the trouble 10 days or 2 weeks before, so that maybe we can utilize the operation. Means we put some vessel. This vessel needs some maintenance to prevent the sudden stop. We do better to 12 hours port stay. In that case, we will swap the vessel. So this is one of the fleet optimization topics. So this trouble prediction, we already put AI, and already I answered in the last question, where we grew up AI with our knowledge. This is our current situation to utilize AI.
Thank you very much. Very interesting. Ronnie, please.
Yes, I think to Ikeda-san's point here, that AI will definitely play a role and already plays a role in how you're able to analyze and assess enormous amounts of data in a better, smarter, and faster way than you can typically achieve with just the human brain. So that's a key factor, definitely. But I think when it comes to pretty much everything, I don't personally like to start with a named technology in some way or form. I think we should always start with what is the problem that we're trying to solve, how do we solve it, and does AI have a part to play in that solution? And in that order, that we don't do anything with technology for technology's sake, but that we solve problems with technology and let technology be an enabler of us solving those problems, and that we approach it from that side.
Thank you very much. So we have a few minutes left, and maybe the last question that maybe we got just quick on some quick thoughts. We know what we are seeking to achieve, to optimize. We have our technologies, we have our AI. We have a good intention to actually apply technologies to our operations. Is that enough, or do we need to change the way the industry operates? Our business model is changing. Are we missing opportunity if we don't? Do you have a view on how we can work in differently together? Open floor. Dimitris, give us your view.
I think we already see technologies changing dramatically the way we're working, also the way we see things in the future. And I see I also believe how we cooperate with other stakeholders in the industry and sharing of information. So I do believe this will fundamentally be enhanced as we go forward, whether we like it or not. I think it's going to be a push factor just because of the development in technology.
Some kind of sharing in the industry.
Yes.
Some kind of. Ikeda-san, give us some quick view on this.
Yes, the shipping sector is has many stakeholders, so it's a very complex, complicated world. But we try to find some smart operation for the all stakeholders. So I have no idea, but we need some how can I say new technology or new procedure or something, I guess.
In any particular area, any particular subject?
Well, yes. For the time being, I can say the safety is our common property for the all stakeholders, so that we can share the safety aspect, like a casualty or lesson learned or something. So we can share some safety issue.
Nice, thank you very much. Yamane-san.
Okay, data utilization, the data quantity and quality are very important. And now we are talking about shipping industry and optimizing the fleet or reduce the emission. But if we collect all the data, maybe more than, I think, the 30,000 of the vessels in the world, and we collect all the data, for example, the weather observations, the wind direction, and barometers, all the data, maybe this kind of the data, this is not only for the shipping industry, this, the weather observation data can be contribute to the one of the solution for the climate changes. So maybe our shipping industry, all the data maybe can change the we can tackle to the climate changes. So maybe this is the time to eliminate our border to enjoy the data. Enjoy the data. So that is
another good cause to try to enjoy our data and let everybody enjoy data. Very good. And finally, Ronnie, give us your take on this.
Yeah, I mean, I very much agreed with Satoshi Yamane-san's point there. I've always said break down all the data silos because it would enable us to do things a lot more efficiently across anything that we do. I don't think the basic model of shipping, at least the underlying model of moving goods from A to B at scale, will change. It's what we do and will continue to do. But I think there is a strong case to be made also for increased efficiencies in the way we operate commercially and contractually. And there are several initiatives that's now coming on this, which is great. You see technology companies working on it, and also industry initiatives to reduce the contractual inefficiencies that lead to a lot of unnecessary emissions across the industry. I think there's a very strong case for continued work and collaboration on the commercial inefficiencies of shipping.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed. We just ran out of time. Thank you for your contribution and your thoughts to the audience. I hope it was some valuable for all of you. And just let's give it a round of applause.